One of the emptiest and worst feelings that I have ever felt in my entire life is when you are thousands of miles from home and you don't know anybody, and you don't have anybody, and you feel empty and hollow, and you just feel homesick. Anybody ever felt homesick before? Anybody ever felt homesick? And the only thing that can ever fix being homesick is what? It's being home. There's nothing that you can do. There's no temporary thing or place that you could go or people to be around or thing you can try that's going to solve that feeling and that emptiness of being homesick. And God gave that to me this week, and I started to think of all the people that are lost in the world, trying to do everything they can, and they feel homesick. They feel just homesick. They just want to be home, and they think if they try this thing, or if they do this thing, or if they go here, maybe this is what's missing. Maybe this is the thing that feels like home. Maybe if I do this, and nothing seems to fit, because the only thing that's going to make them not feel homesick is being home. And I think about all of us. Anytime we let anxiety or depression or worry or stress or all those evil things get to us, it's whenever we turn our back just slightly on home. And we focus on those things as opposed to staying in His presence. And we start to feel homesick and we start to get worried and stressed. But as soon as we run back to our Father, we're okay. And we don't feel homesick anymore. And that just hit me. And so that's what the title of this sermon is homesick. So we started this in-game series, The Real In-Game. Anybody like this series? One person likes this series. Anybody else like this series? Okay, come on. So the first week, we established that the end, the real end game, is a real thing that's actually going to happen. There's actually going to be a last person saved. It's actually going to happen. There's a real thing. And then the next week, we talked about where our focus is and where our focus should be. Right? So now that we've established that it's a real thing and that it's really going to happen and what we need to focus on, now what? What do we do about it? What do we do about it? If you have your Bibles, open up to Revelation. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter 12. Now in this, battle is raging all around. The battle is raging all around, but I want to focus on just this. Starting in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, man, I don't know about you all, but if I ever hear that in Scripture, I kind of lean in just a little bit closer. A loud voice in heaven is saying, what? Tell me. The salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have now come, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been thrown down. They conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you with great fury, because he knows his time is short. Can you say amen? All right, you all may be seated. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that we are waging war against. But he's not our only enemy. Time. The clock is ticking. The end is a real thing, and it's not going anywhere. And every day, we get closer to it. We get closer to it. If you saw the clock of the end approaching, what would you do? Would you change how you behaved? Would you change the urgency in which you talk to people about Christ? Would you just huddle up with your family and pray and just wait for it to happen? Or would we go and find every single person that we know doesn't know the Lord? Every family member that we hope someday comes around and accepts Jesus. Every friend that we just hope someday comes around and accepts Jesus. If we could see the clock ticking down, and when I know that it hits zero, I can't tell you anything else. I have nothing else to say. It'll be too late. It'll be over. Would we be a little bit more urgent? Would we go after those that are lost? Would we go after that one and find that one and bring them home a little faster than what we did? I think we would. I would hope so. I only have 18 minutes and 46 seconds to tell you about Christ. To tell you about Christ. And then there's not going to be any opportunity for me to tell you anymore. The clock's going to hit zero and I won't be able to tell you anything else. So let me get to it because time is short. Time is short and I have to make sure that I get this out and that each and every one of you, when you leave, that I can look at each and every one of you, that I didn't waste any time, that each and every one of you know who Christ is, know what he did for you, know that everybody is okay here. Take care of it. That way when it hits zero and I'm out of options, I'm out of time, that it doesn't matter because we're all going home. None of us have to be homesick ever again. The accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night. Day and night. He takes no breaks. He's coming after your family. He's coming after your marriage. He's coming after your kids. He is not taking a break. He is coming after you, and he is waging war against you when you're tired. And you just need a day, and you need to rest, and you kind of just don't want to read your Bible today, or you kind of just don't want to be serving anybody, or maybe I don't have enough time for that. The devil is leaning in closer, trying to get to you. Every day, day and night, he takes no breaks. The time's ticking. I gotta pick this up. I don't want to waste any time. I want you all to know who Christ is before that clock hits zero. If it hits zero and the time's up and we reach the end, then it's over. It's over, and I can't tell you anything else. We're getting closer to it every single day. Have we forgotten that it's ticking? Have we pushed that clock just in the back of our minds and just thought that maybe it'll happen? Maybe sometime. And the fact that we're literally running out of time to reach those that are lost is happening every single day. Every single moment of every single day. I got 16 minutes. I gotta get this out. I don't want to run out of time. I want you all to know how much Christ loves you before it's too late. Before it's too late, I gotta get it out. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb. Did you all know that you are conquerors? Believe it. You are conquerors of the darkness. And you are conquerors of the darkness because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Has anybody ever heard anybody that came to know the Lord and when you ask them or they tell somebody, they say, "Yes, I was saved." Anybody ever heard that? Nobody? Y'all don't know no saved people? I was saved. But that's where they stop. They don't say anything else other than, "Yeah, I was saved on April 12th, 19 so-and-so." They don't say anything else. What were you saved from? What were you saved from? Why did we stop? Were you saved from a bear? What are you talking about? You were saved from what? I was just saved. No. You see, when I accepted the Lord, I was saved from the darkness of my mind. The liar that I was, addiction that I had, the lover of myself, I was saved from loving me. I was saved from loving the world. I was saved from all the things that I valued that gave me nothing but death. I was saved from those things. I was saved from eternal damnation in hell. I was saved from eternal separation from God. I was saved from that and given life That's what I was saved from. I don't want to say that I was just saved and leave it. I was saved from so many things. Let me tell you about them. Let me tell you about them. So often people feel like their testimony is a private thing. It's not. It is not. It is yours. It's yours to give and conquer with. To conquer with, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I know you all know this, but DNA science is so specific. It is so good that they use it for crime scenes. Everybody knows that, right? You've seen CSI, right? Yes. So if I were at a crime scene and I were to leave one of the hairs on my beard. That ain't funny, y'all. If I left a beard hair at a crime scene, they could test that DNA and find me out of anybody else in the world. They would say that that ugly ginger beard hair belongs to Brent Morrison. There's no other way that they could confuse it with anybody else. So why? Why do I think that the mission that God gave me is any more or any less specific than my natural body? If they can pick me out and I was designed so specifically, if I was designed so perfectly that there's only one of me, then who am I to think that my testimony is not specifically made for someone else to hear? It was a gift for me to give to someone. Somebody can say that I've led thousands of people to the Lord. That's incredible. But the one that means just the same is the person that said, you know what, I was bold one time and I shared my testimony with this person and they came to know the Lord. That's the same value. That's how we conquer. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You were given a story to tell. You were given a testimony to use. It is a weapon against darkness. It is a weapon against the enemy. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That means the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on a cross for you and all that junk that you've been through. It's a weapon. And it is not used against you. It is used for the kingdom of heavens. So often people feel ashamed of their testimony. And they feel like it's something against them. But it is something for them to use against the enemy. It is not meant to hurt you. It is meant to conquer the devil. By the blood of the Lamb. I've got 11 minutes left. I've got 11 minutes left. I have to get this out. I have to make sure I don't run out of time. I have to make sure that I don't run out of time. It's not stopping. I can't stop the clock. It's going to keep going. Has anybody ever heard of the saying, killing time? You can't kill time. There's nothing that I could do to stop this. There's nothing that's going to happen. I'm getting closer and closer to the end every second that we all talk. I can't waste any more time. It's about to be under 11 minutes. I have to make sure that you know how much Jesus loves you. I have to make sure that you know. I have to live my life knowing that the clock is ticking and make sure that you all know, everybody that I come across knows how much Jesus loves them, how much God gave for them. I have to make sure. Let me get this out. I have to make sure that I don't run out of time. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death. Do you love your life to the point of death? Would you give up eternal salvation in Jesus Christ if it meant that you got one more day on this earth? You know, yesterday we went and we served the homeless in Mission 615. And a man had built his whole camp area, his whole camp area. And you know what he did with his camp? He has church on Sundays at 2 o'clock. He goes around and he tells all the different tents to come over to his area. And they find a homeless person that can play guitar and sing. And he leads them in worship. And he gets his Bible out and he leads people to the Lord. That's what he does with his situation. He does not love his life to the point of death. At that same moment, while they're having church service in a homeless camp out on the river, you can see the river right here. And as they're doing it, these men and women are starving, needing water, needing things to keep them alive. You can look out on the water and see a boat go by with wakeboarders driving down, not knowing what's happening right here. I'm not condemning anybody that's doing it. I'm just saying they think that they're having a good day. But I tell you what, the people right there gathering together, loving the Lord, is better than any day that those people could ever imagine having. Ever. That's what he does with his situation. So often these camps are right off the road. I've only got 8 minutes left. I got to get this out. I got to make sure I don't run out of time. There's this path, this concrete path that well-off people use for biking and recreation. And they do it, and they ride these bikes with their little lights on them and their bike suits. You'll never catch me in a bike suit. Like, I'll fight somebody that tries to put me in one of them. It's not happening. Way. I guess I'd have to ride a bike first. Riding this, and they have no idea. They have no idea. They go down this path every day, and it's just part of what they do. But if they were to step off that path into the woods, just 5 steps, they'd be in the middle of a homeless camp with 5 or 6 tents of people starving. And they're riding down the path, not ever knowing that they're over there. You go down a little further and you go off this path and there's more right there. And you would never know that they're there. I don't want to stay on this path and love my life to the point of death, to where I'm just going and going and never stop and come off my path of life, my habit, my schedule, my natural things, that I'm just, this is my life, this is my life, this is my life, and never stop and turn to see if there's somebody in the bushes, somebody in the wilderness that might need something, somebody over here that might need water or food or a shirt. I don't want to love my path so much that I get a new light on my bicycle or a new radio or new headphones and see how much better I can make my path. I don't want to love my life to the point of death. I don't want to. I want to be a conqueror of the darkness, and I do that through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and not loving their life to the point of death. That's what I want. I've only got 6 minutes left. Listen, I have to make sure that you know this. I don't want to run out. I don't want to reach the end and have anybody left behind. I don't want to run out of time. I want to look at you all and let you all know that there's more time. We've got 6 minutes and 28 seconds left to come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Everybody hurry. Everybody hurry. There's not a whole lot of time left. We have to have a sense of urgency about our families. We have to have a sense of urgency about our lives. Whatever grudge you're holding on to with a family member, whatever addiction you think that you just can't get rid of, whatever, if you believe in God, but you just think that someday you'll come around to it and get your stuff together, there's no time. There's less time now. None of that stuff matters. None of that stuff matters. Leave it. Drop the grudge. Drop the fear. Drop the hate. Drop the stress. Get rid of that stuff. You can't take it to heaven with you. You can't hold a grudge in heaven. You're going to run out of time. You have to know there's only a little bit of time left. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you with great fury, because he knows his time is short. He holds the clock. He's speeding it up every chance he gets. He controls it. He's trying to hurry this up, and he has a great fury for your life. He has a fury that you cannot imagine. You cannot even relate to how much hate and anger and just evilness he has for you and your family and your children and your mother and your father and your marriage. He wants you. And he's, we're losing time. We're losing time. The end is there, and we are going forward to it, and there is nothing we can do to stop it or slow it down. It's happening. It's happening so fast that I can't get this out enough. It's by the blood of the Lamb. He died for this. For this. And by the word of your testimony. Whatever situation you've been through, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, all of that is used to conquer the enemy. It is a weapon that you and only you have. Nobody else has the same story. Nobody else has the same testimony. It's yours. Use it. Don't let it use you. Don't let your testimony weigh you down. Don't let it drag you down. Don't be ashamed of what you've done or who what's been done to you. Just use it to conquer the enemy. I'm telling you, it's like my brother told me yesterday, the same people that we went and ministered to that were homeless yesterday, they are going to be sitting at the same table that you and I are sitting at in heaven. The same one. They're going to be clothed in righteousness and receive the same thing, eternal salvation. Just like us. Just like us. It doesn't matter. I've only got 3 minutes left. I've got 3 minutes left to tell you about this. He is trying to attack you. But he'll attack you not just by you. He will whisper something else in somebody else's ear and use them to attack you. Whatever grudge that you think you've had, whatever thing that somebody you think has said or rumor or whatever, that dissension that has been caused where it's separated a family or separated a friendship or separated a church, he's using it. He's coming after you and he's trying to get you alone so he could devour you. None of the grudges, none of the things matter. Not what the world says about you. Not what the comment section says about you. Not what any of that means. Your worth is in Jesus Christ and in this Bible. He will tell you what you're worth. I've only got 2 minutes. Listen to me. Listen. It's important. I don't want to run out of time. Listen, we were there yesterday. We were there yesterday, and we only had about 2 minutes left. We only had about 2 minutes left that we had to leave. It was time that we had given all the water and given all the toiletries and given all the snacks and all the things, sleeping bags and cans of propane that we could, and it was time to go. We had run out of time. We had run out of supplies, and we had to go. But one of our teams decided to go a little bit further. They decided to go a little bit further. And they found this girl. And she was all by herself. She was all by herself. The time was up. They just had a few seconds left. But they kept going and they used that time. They found this girl and she was down. And she was crying. And she was writing her suicide note. She was writing her suicide note when we found her. And we used the last few seconds to let her know how much she's loved. How much she's loved and how much she is valued. She's down by herself writing her suicide note. And a body of God-loving believers walks up on her and tells her how much she's loved. We were almost out of time, but we had to go after that one. We had to find that last one. And we had to bring her home. We had to let her know that she was loved. We had to let her know that she was valued, that Christ died for her. As much as anybody, as much as the people driving down the lake on a boat and wakeboards. He loves her just as much. I've only got 8 seconds. Listen, because seriously, he loves you. He loves you. The time's almost up. He loves you. Don't, please, don't. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us a little bit more time. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us just a little bit more time. Thank you for being merciful and great and powerful and loving, and that you give us just a little bit more time, just a few more moments on this earth so that we can bring people home to you and they never have to feel homesick again. We won't waste another second, God. We won't waste another second. We see the clock ticking down, and we are going to use that sense of urgency to go after those that are lost, to lay down the things that we don't need to be carrying around with us, to come home to you as well. We understand the clock is ticking, and we understand that we're moving closer to the end. We will be conquerors, Lord. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, right now is the time. You have no more time. There is no more time to waste. There's not a second to lose. We've got a little bit more time. He put a little bit more time on the clock, but I don't know how much it is. I don't know how much it is. If you've never received Christ, it's now. If you received him, but you still feel homesick because you've turned away from his will and what he wants for your life, it's time to come back home. Don't waste any more time.